Scare your lawn straight by dialing 1-888-ROSIE-4U. It's the Rosie on the House Show.
Well, nothing says summer, or summer's coming, like a nice can of canned peaches.
Peaches were made for homemade ice cream.
That's right. And homemade ice cream was made for 4th of July.
Or peach cobbler with homemade ice cream on top of it.
Oh, a la mode.
Let's see if we can help Brandy in Glendale get some good produce off of her peach trees. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
My peach tree, now I've trimmed it and properly, and I've thinned out the fruit, and it still is so loaded that the branches are just bending almost in half. Now, my husband wants to get 2x4s and prop up the branches, and I'm just concerned that that will harm them. Is that a
no? That you know, people. That's an age old remedy for that. It probably still means that you haven't thinned enough. I mean, Lowell True, one of our, when I grew up, he was the county extension agent or one of them, and Lowell would always say that you need to have your neighbor or somebody from down the street come thin your tree because you would never take enough off of your own tree. So, you know, propping it with 2x4s will work in a pinch. I mean, you certainly don't want limbs to break. And then those, not only do you have a broken down tree, which can also cause damage to the tree, but all the fruit that is on that limb won't mature either. So I would also look at it again and just see if you can't even reduce the weight by thinning some more. I mean, take a realistic look at how many peaches are really there.
And how many you eat in a week.
And realize that and they're all going to get ripe on the same day. So, you know, how many you're going to have to deal with. And maybe do just a little more thinning. Plus, you'll end up with nicer, bigger peaches. And don't, no, Rosie, no. We can't do this with a chainsaw.
Not a chainsaw.
No, this is not a chainsaw.
Well, the good thing is on the day that tree decides all that fruit is ripe, she knows our phone number.
That's right.
Yeah, good luck with that.
She could always.
I bet
call
if you
us.
Went over there and helped her thin it,
I'll bring a ladder.
Is that a peach recipe you got, or are we going to change?
You know, it's not a peach recipe, but a couple things on peaches. Schneff Farms in Queen Creek, they have their peach festival that's coming up, I believe, just around the corner. And then we've got great peaches down south in the Wilcox area from Apple Annie's. I mean, she's not just known for apples. She's right. Also known for peaches. But so we have some great peaches from some of our farmers here in Arizona.
There are. And you had mentioned those. Those are places open to the public. You can go
yes.
bring there. They give you a basket, and you can go pick it right
and
off
that
the
would
tree.
Be later. So you can do Queen Creek in probably May or early June. Then you could Wilcox probably in like August or September.
Yes.
I don't know if there's anybody for North. Is that?
It is. Yeah. Well, last year, the group a field trip. The school bused them out there.
So that would be kind of in between. That's probably June or early July. So
just all based on different terrains and elevation and temperature.
Right. Terrain, or however they say that in the wine industry.
One of the easiest things, in my opinion, to peel and can are peaches. I mean, you could be loaded for a whole year here.
Now, can you eat a peach with a fuzz without peeling it?
I can, and I love it.
As much as I love peaches, I can't.
You gotta peel the fuzz.
I can't do it.
Okay, well, again, since we're coming on summer, well, it's just around the corner. Another recipe we have on Fill Your Plate is okra and tomatoes recipe from Kelly Saxer of Desert Roots Farm. A fun story on her. That's another Queen Creek farm, and it's now owned by Corinne. Another young woman purchased it from Kelly, and they have great organic vegetables and all sorts of fun stuff. So she'll have okra available. But this okra and tomato recipe is on Fill Your Plate. It's just bacon, a pound
Ooh.
Of okra.
Ooh.
And you
it's got bacon. It's gotta be good.
Saute the bacon and for the flavor, and then you add the okra later. But that also with onions, bell pepper, celery stalks. So all sorts of veggies. And then if you go to Fill Your Plate, you can get all the details on how to cook it, but it's another great summer recipe using summer vegetables from Arizona.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. If you'd like to join the conversation, share your family garden recipe, or like Sandra, want to talk about a pineapple palm. Good morning.
Hi. I have this pineapple palm, and it's about 6 years old. And on the west side of the palm, the tips of the fronds are turning up into themselves. And so it's happening, the older fronds are turned up about 1.5 inches. And then as I go up the tree, it's to a lesser degree. And so I was hoping you had an answer for me as to why it's happening.
Well, that's a hard one, kind of, I guess, without really being able to see it. But fronds that are a little more turned up and maybe a little stiffer or hardened off might indicate that the tree isn't getting enough water, possibly. Now, Canary Island palms or pineapple palms are a true desert palm. They do very well on very little water. And I don't want you to necessarily go out there and just start watering it a whole bunch, because it may not be anything, you know, other than just the way that one genetically is doing something weird. But that's the only thing that I can think of, is sometimes you'll see the fronds get a little tighter, a little smaller. The leaf blades, you know, will curl just because they're just not as supple and full of moisture. So that's what I'm thinking. Maybe give it a really good, just take the hose over there and let it run for 10, 12 hours slow and give it a deep, deep, long soaking, and that might just solve the problem.
I know roots like to dry out from time to time, but when I think palm, I think tropic, and that sounds like something kind of hard to overwater, something tropical.
Yeah, except, you know, Canary Island palms are, you know, from a desert area. The date palm family, you know, you see them in Egypt and, you know, Iraq and Iran and, you know, along the Euphrates. You know, they're a desert palm. They're not a like a queen palm or some of those that are truly tropical. And you can't overwater them, I don't think. But, you know, and of course there's Canary Island, that family of palms that are more tropical than others. But those are pretty desert hardy.
And it's a great time to plant something. If it's just past the point of rescue, good time to plant.
Yeah, you betcha.
Let's bring Martha into the conversation. We were talking a little weed control and grass earlier, and she wants to know how that works in with her irrigation system.
Yes, in fact, you may have talked about this. I just turned the radio on. I have a lawn with Bermuda and weeds. And I want to weed it, get weed and seed, but I get irrigation. Now, how can I put that stuff on? Let's see, how should I say this? There's a man that does the irrigation in the neighborhood, so mm-hmm. I know on the computer what time it's supposed to come, but sometime mm-hmm. it's 3 hours later.
Mm-hmm.
How soon before the irrigation can I put that on? You know, so it won't hurt the grass.
Okay, well, let's back up just a little bit. You want to use a weed and feed combination?
Pardon?
You want to use something that's a combination weed and feed product?
Well, I thought someone said that would be the best.
If you have a weed problem, that is not going to solve your problem.
Okay.
The amount of weed killer that is in the weed and feed combination products is just not enough to generally control your weed problem. I would suggest doing the irrigation, and then after the irrigation, you need to spray with a post-emergent type weed killer. Your best thing to do would be to take some samples of the weeds that you have into your local nursery or garden center, have them ID it and sell you or show you which weed killer would be best for you to apply. If you want to fertilize the lawn, put that on just prior to irrigation. And to answer your question, if he was going to irrigate, you know, early in the morning or in the middle of the night, if you put it on late in the afternoon, the day previous to that, that would be fine. It shouldn't do any damage at all sitting there for a few hours.
And is that a granular or a liquid, you think, for that kind of application?
The fertilizer?
Mm-hmm.
always granular for lawns. Liquid products, unless you have the right kind of spray equipment or something, are pretty darn tough to apply to a lawn. If she's irrigating, she's probably got a pretty sizable lawn. Now, if you got a little couple hundred square foot patch of grass in the back, it might work.
And you have the time to get out there with your
problem with liquids are you just have to do them so frequently. They don't persist very long. They're already soluble. The grass, you know, soaks them up and utilizes them, and then you mow it off, and it just doesn't persist very long.
Let's go to Zach in Coolidge. Wants to talk about ocotillos. Zach,
good morning.
How can we help you?
Good morning. First off, I love your program, and Rosie, you do a great job informing everybody. 2 years ago, this June, I planted a bare root ocotillo, and the canes, or whatever you want to call them, have never leafed out. Now, I go out and check moisture and water it deep every few weeks when it's hot out, and the canes or stalks have like a mottled color in them, greens and a golden, like a yellowed fingernail or something color streaking through them. But I was wondering, is there any way to, short of digging the entire thing up, to find out if it's alive and just, well, you know, starting a root system?
Start out at the very end. Take one cane and start snapping it. Now get a good pair of leather gloves first, but just start kind of snapping on it and see how brittle they are. If they're dead, they'll just break very easily, and just work your way down. And if it just continues to snap brittly all the way down, then it's probably gone. Now I have seen ocotillos take years before they finally leafed out the first time. I've also seen them be in the ground for 6 months and be dead. So they can be just a little bit tricky sometimes. So
that's probably why they started being used as fences. Somebody had put in a bunch thinking, oh, these are great. They died, and they're like, what are we going to do with all of them? So they started making coyote fence. Yeah. I bet that's how that started.
Well, and then you see they're the craziest plant, because you'll see
makes
them just broken off and stuck in the ground as a fence, and they're growing. And you see people that plant one, and they can't get it to grow. So.
Hey, we were talking about peaches a little bit earlier, and Julie mentioned the Schneff Farms. Their next event is the Easter Egg Excitement in 13 days, 17 hours, 14 minutes, and 29 seconds.
On the countdown.
But their peaches were voted the best in the country by Wine Spectator magazine, and the peach season begins the end of April, goes for 5 weeks, and they've got five different varieties. Right here, local, best peaches in the country.
And I have a peach paradise layered dessert recipe from Carrie Schneff on Fill Your Plate.
Ooh, we'll get in. I want to hear more about those details. And, you know, one of the things that's the most annoying about gardening is when you start growing something, everything starts coming. That includes weeds. And if you're trying to do the vegetable gardens and you're trying to do organics and you're trying not to do a lot of things, but there's something else you could have in your garden toolkit. Cleanup K with a K. K-L-E-E-N. Cleanup weed and grass killer. So you had mentioned earlier, Jay, that sometimes your grass can be a weed. And for a lot of people, Bermuda is a weed, especially if you've gone from a lawn to a xeriscape.
It's kind of like ocotillas. Bermuda grass always grows where you don't want it to, and when you want it as a lawn, it won't grow. And the nice thing about that cleanup is if you're just real careful, it won't kill anything unless it gets on the leaf of it. It has no soil activity. It doesn't harm the soil. So you can just spray that little shoot of grass as it's coming up right on it. It won't hurt your vegetables.
And you can get that in Flagstaff at Warner's on Butler. Tucson Savano Nursery sells it. And then Summer Winds in Mesa on Country Club. That's Bonide Clean Up Weed and Grass Killer.